Tomorrow, Barack Obama will be awarding Presidential Medals of Freedom in a ceremony at the White House. Among the 17 recipients being honored, composer Stephen Sondheim, the late great baseball legend Yogi Berra, and singer-songwriter James Taylor, who's sold more than 100 million albums over the past four decades with hits like this one, 1976's Shower the People.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. Things are gonna work out fine if you only will.
And James Taylor joins us from his home in Western Massachusetts. James Taylor, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yes, I guess congratulations are in order.
Absolutely. But you've had so many honors already, including being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But this is called the nation's highest civilian honor. Does it feel any different?
It does. I'm actually just a bit gobsmacked. I'm a little overwhelmed. Don't know quite how to react, but I'm just really walking on air a little bit.
In announcing your selection, the White House said James Taylor has touched people with his warm baritone voice and distinctive style of guitar playing for more than 40 years while setting a precedent to which countless young musicians have aspired. When I hear that, I think legacy.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, those are certainly very heartening and very, encouraging, validating sort of words to hear. You know, it has been an amazing ride. You know, I could never have guessed in the beginning that I would still be at it now. It's really amazing how long it's lasted and what a fantastic ride it's been.
Well, it feels like a lot of people have their own James Taylor memories. For me, it's definitely Up on the Roof. I used to listen to that song in middle school, up on my best friend's roof, watching the stars on a summer night.
On the roof, it's peaceful.
Do people come up to you and talk about their music and the specific associations they have with it?
They really do. People will say, oh, I took a road trip with my dad and we played your music all the way along across in the United States, and it's the soundtrack of that particular memory, or maybe a tough breakup. Sometimes it'll be we played your song Only One at our wedding, and that's our song. And, you know, so I get that a lot.
I'm thinking about some of the songs that are really popular in your canon, like 1970's Fire and Rain. And that was a song that people may not know was written in a very dark period of your life. And yet it became sort of a ballad, an anthem for so many people. But does the memory of what it was associated with for you, depression, does that make it hard to perform, or have you moved beyond that?
Well, you know, I know that Fire and Rain isn't thought of as being a blues, but it does the same thing that the blues does for the person who sings it, or for me writing it. It sort of takes something that's inside you and it takes it out of you. It puts it in front of you. It allows you to deal with it in a way. And I think that emotionally the song did the same thing for other people too. It's sort of cathartic, maybe in that way, or maybe it's therapeutic a little bit.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you.
Is there a song of yours that you always want to play in every concert, or one that you just dread when people ask you to do it?
No, you know, there are enough favorites or crowd favorites that if I get tired of a song, I can rotate it out for a few years or a few tours and then come back to it when it feels fresh again.
Mm.
There are songs that over the years have turned up pretty much in every concert I do. Carolina in My Mind, Sweet Baby James, Your Smiling Face.
Whenever I see your smiling face, I have to smile myself, because I love you, yes I do. And when you give me that pretty little pout, it turns me inside out. There's something about you, baby, I don't know.
It's sort of like reaching safe ground, you know. There's a thing in a concert where there are some songs that when you play them, the audience is so much referring to their own associations with the tune that even though it's a song I've played countless times and even though I might not play it, you know, sitting down at home, the audience's reaction sort of makes it a sweet spot, you know, in the concert.
In my mind, I'm going to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to keep me from behind? When I'm going to Carolina in my mind.
Well, let me ask you to share a quick thought about Sweet Baby James.
Well, Sweet Baby James was written for my nephew, James Richmond Taylor is his name. And he, let's see, born in 68. So, yeah, he's not a baby anymore, neither am I, but... I had been overseas. I'd been in London. And when I came home, my older brother Alex had a kid. I asked Alex on the phone when I got home, I asked him what they were thinking of naming the kid. And he said, well, actually, we're going to name it after you, James, little baby James. So I got it in my car. I drove down the East Coast to North Carolina to set eyes on the little fella. While I was driving down, I just kept thinking about what sort of song would be good to play for a little varmint, you know, a little rascal like Baby James. And it was still in that period of time where Westerns had a huge grip on the sort of young imagination. And so I thought, well, a cowboy lullaby would be the right thing.
There is a young cowboy who lives on the range. His horse and his cattle are his only companions.
It starts sort of being a lullaby to a kid, and then the second half of the song, it sort of lifts off and becomes more general. For one thing, I become Sweet Baby James in the second half of the song. It always works for me. The song always connects emotionally with me when I perform it.
So good night, you moonlight lady. Rock-a-bye, Sweet Baby James.
Let me ask you about your most recent album. It's called Before This World. You hadn't made an album of all new material in 13 years, and it really surprised me to learn that this was your first album to hit number one on the Billboard chart. Did that make this album feel any different for you?
Well, you know, that was fantastic. And what it really amounts to is that the record company just did their job really well. I think it's something that could have happened to any of the last five albums had the record company been interested enough in seeing it through. Nonetheless, it really was, you know, I think the weight made it that much more special.
Before this world was as we know it now, before the land and sea were formed at all.
So let me ask you, James Taylor, the Medal of Freedom is a recognition of a full career. Does that cheer you, or does that worry you about it coming to an eventual end?
there is a sort of an element of there being, when you're given these kind of laurels, there's maybe a suggestion that it's time to rest on them. But in fact, I, you know, I have this second family of musicians that I play with, that I travel with, and you know, I love these guys. I love traveling with them and working with them, and so I'm hoping that I can continue for a while as long as the audiences show up. You know, I'm looking forward to a tour starting this next April. I'll be out on the road for a while, and you know, I'm glad for that.
All right. Well, we wish you luck with that tour and with your music writing. Musician and Medal of Freedom honoree James Taylor. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Indira, thank you.